couple of things to note yesterday. Atlanta did get there were a couple turnovers, one a fumble, one an interception there in the first half. And you talk about the defensive stops. And as the head coach of the Falcons, Mike Smith, joins us, tell you what, the defense bowed up pretty good there, Smitty, on the back end of the Hayden interception and then the fumble to hold the Browns, who at the time were trying to gain some momentum on that side of the ball, to just field goals in those situations.
Yeah, I thought that the defense did a very good job in those sudden change situations coming off of the interception and then the sack.
Yeah.
They had a great field position, and we were able to hold them to a field goal. And really, that's winning when you do that. And we kept ourselves in the game by doing that. Easily could have gotten out of hand early on, and the defense was able to hold us close there in the first half of the game.
Smitty, I know you guys wanted to try to run the football, and this is a defense that, if you looked at the numbers, just at the numbers, which is never the game, that numbers would say, okay, you're going to have your way in the run game. That's not there. Yeah. It never works out that way. Why, as you look at the film and had a chance to break it down, did you not have more success in the run game?
Yeah, we did not run the ball efficiently. We were very below average, especially on first down. Mm-hmm. We got behind the sticks in what we call rundowns, which is about 50% of the game, first and 10 and second and 6+. And they did a very good job of loading the box against our 11 personnel and tried to force us, to throw the ball. They had an extra guy in the box, and that's going to be problematic in terms of trying to run the football. We scratched and tried to do some different things, and there in the second half we ended up actually coming out and trying to do it in a more of a heavy package than trying to do it in our 11 personnel.
As it turns out, in a game, whenever somebody's trying to do that, they're trying to force you to throw the football, you got to have some pretty good players on the outside. They've got some pretty good guys on the outside. But you know going in, and I remember as a quarterback, your percentage of completions in those situations is going to go down some, but they're also going to lend themselves to some shots. It looked like you had some opportunities down the field to take some shots, and for whatever reason, whether a misstep by a receiver or a misthrow by Matt, you just didn't connect on enough of them maybe to get them out of that look.
Yeah, we did not. We had really eight shots down the field, and we were three out of eight. And so we were 0-for-5 on some opportunities to get the ball down the field. And and that's not just the quarterback and the receiver. We all know that it is all intertwined, and they all work together. We've got to have protection. We've got to have a precise route, and then we have to execute. And if we're throwing the ball 40 yards in the air, it's got to come down in a small area.
Falcons head coach Mike Smith with us here on the Coaches Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. To that effect, I guess most of the stuff deep was on the edges of the perimeter. And then Roddy White ends up with a 9-catch day. Good bit of his stuff, I guess, ends up happening across the middle of the field yesterday for you.
Yes, it did. Roddy had a good game for us when you have 9 catches, and he made some really big catches on third down. Julio had the touchdown off of the bootleg. Matt did a nice job catching him crossing the field after we had missed on an opportunity. But Roddy has really put together some good play here the last 3 weeks.
Smitty, I don't know the analytics of this, and I'm sure there are in some degree, but has the middle of the field been more friendly in your pass game this year maybe than you anticipated?
I think that we've had more success throwing the ball inside the numbers than we have outside the numbers. And that's a more direct throw. Mm-hmm. As Dave knows, as a quarterback, that's a more direct throw, although that you have to work your way through a lot more defenders when you're throwing that ball inside the numbers.
Yeah, and it looked like they tried to congest that area because they realized exactly that. It looked like there were a number of times, because of some switching off or how they were trying to play their coverage, that Matt had to hold the ball a count longer to let that kind of diagnose itself, I guess.
Yes, and get to the next window. As you know, there's windows underneath in zone coverages, and based on what safety's dropping down and how they're passing, the windows are going to move, and then you've got to have you know, you've got to have the protection hold up as well. And our protection was a little shaky. We gave up the three sacks in the ball game. You know, and that, I think, is cumulative because of what happened in our run game. We weren't able to win the line of scrimmage running the football like we had hoped we would have been able to.
Smitty, when you looked at the other side of the football, it looked like they wanted to try to get to that cutback run. You and I visited a little bit about it in postgame, and they had some success with it. I think they got away with a little bit of liberal play call on the backside as far as holding goes, but they seemed to find a little bit of a home with that kind of bend back play. It looked like Carolina did that a little bit too, but you diagnosed that one. This one, they had a little bit more success.
Yes, they did, especially in the second half. I thought we played the run well in the first half. In the second half, we got our defense split. We had some guys that were on the backside of blocks, or they did some cut blocking. And as you know, this is a one-cut running back scheme, and they were actually tossing the ball and running it back. And then we did not tackle well in the second half of the ball game. I thought our numbers through the first half were on pace for us to have a pretty good day, but we gave up the explosive touchdown runs there in the second half. And a lot of it had to do with it coming out the shooting out the back door, and we lost some leverage on a couple of plays where guys were folding too quickly. You know, the ball was tossed and they were flowing to the ball, and the ball was being wound back. And you know, we didn't do what we needed to get done in the second half of the ball game in terms of defending the run. I thought in the first half we did a nice job.
Found some turnovers, though. I mean, Trufant makes an unbelievable play back the line of the end zone. That's as remarkable a pick as I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, that was a huge turnover. And when you start talking about, you know, changing the game, you know, making that play right there, there was a, you know, they had 3 points in the, you know, in their pocket. So that was a big time play by True to get his, you know, to get his foot down. And you know, when you watched on the replay, you saw how fantastic of an athletic move that was.
It almost looked like, by Gordon's reaction, he thought, I think, Hoyer was throwing it out of the back of the end zone.
It was a throwaway type pass, and that they weren't even trying to complete it. But True was able to, you know, get up there and show his ups and put both feet in the end zone, and that was a big play for us. And you know, those are the types of plays that your playmakers have to make. And then we get the ball to the offense; they've got to respond to it. And I think we ended up getting a first down or two out of that, and then had to punt the ball.
Yeah.
So when you talk about guys raising their level of play and playing at that elite level, Desmond Trufant continues to make those strides that direction. I'd be interested to see, hey, based on after you've had a chance to watch the film, I mean, you see Gordon's numbers, 8 catches, 120 yards, and I know you guys made an effort to try to keep him on Gordon, but if you take away kind of the two team-type plays you got to cover, that's the two screen plays, which were resulted in about 35 or 40 yards. All of a sudden, you look at a 6-catch day where he had about 80 yards or 70 yards, and Desmond Trufant did a pretty good job, a pretty good player.
Yeah, he did. Desmond had a tough draw. He was going to shadow Josh when he was in the ball game, and as you mentioned, he had the two screens, and the screen plays are plays that we didn't leverage very well. You know, and it wasn't Desmond. It was the leverage of who was responsible for the force, and we let it get outside of us both times. And that's the reason that he got the yardage on the screens. But I thought that he matched up well. You know, there was a couple of times that they moved him around, and not only were lining him up at number one, they were lining him up at number two. And we had some different techniques that we were going to run against him, and we had a bust on one of them, and nobody covered him, and that was a completion. So that was, that was not on Des' books, so to speak. It was on someone else's.
You start looking at these matchups, it seems more and more every week, whether it be Julio Jones for you or the decision you guys made yesterday, there is more exclusivity being given in this league now to certain matchups at wide receiver and cornerback, I guess, in this case.
Yes, it is, Wes. And you know, certain teams approach it different ways. Some want to put your best corner on the best receiver. Some want to put your best corner on the second, your number two receiver, and then roll the coverage to, to the number one. So there's a little, you know, there's different philosophies on how you want to do it. And sometimes you do it, in the game differently. You know, you don't just go the whole game, and you probably saw there were some times, that, Dez was not matching, true. And it really just depends on what the huddle call was.
Smitty, as you looked at as the way this game kind of began to unfold, obviously it was going to be there was going to be some field position elements in it. There was going to be the unexpected turnover, and certainly I think a lot of us were shocked at the fact that a good play by Southward to get the interception late in the game to set you up potentially to win the football game. When you get that turnover with 2:40, I believe, about on the clock, take us through the mindset of what you begin to try to. Try to bleed the clock and try to do all the things that you want to do, but ultimately you got to score or you don't win the football game.
Yes,
1 minute.
When you're in that situation, there you want to, of course, ultimately score a touchdown and move the ball down the field, but you also want to take time off of the clock. And you know, I think we only ended up moving the ball about 17 yards. You know, those 53-yard field goals, you hold your breath. You know, we've got a great kicker, and Matt, you know, he makes his fair share of them. But, you know, you see many, many times, you know, percentage-wise, that they're not all going to go through. So your mindset was to get as many yards as we possibly could. And, you know, unfortunately, we weren't able to sustain the drive. You know, we had an opportunity on a 3rd and 2, and we didn't get it done. And, you know, as I mentioned in my press conference, you know, that's, you know, I didn't put the guys in the best position that they possibly could be, you know, in a couple of situations there, and that's my responsibility.
All right, we'll take a break with Coach. Back with more from the Falcons head coach as the Coaches Show continues this afternoon on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back with Coach Mike Smith, and at the bottom of the hour, Justin Blaylock will join us off the Falcon offensive line and the players portion of the Coaches Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Boy, it was nice to play in the dome yesterday, wasn't it? Nice to have a home game, put the red jersey on.
It was very nice to, you know, to come out and see our fans. I thought that they were energetic, and they helped us. Unfortunately, we didn't get it done, but it was very nice to see, you know, our fans cheering us on and bringing that energy, and we're going to need it this week with the best record in the NFC coming in and the Arizona Cardinals.
Smitty, let me ask you, postscript of a 42-day, essentially, road trip. You can only play the hand you're dealt. What do you learn from going through sequences like that where you have the extended road trips or things of that nature? Because I know coaches are always back-analyzing when they get a chance about scheduling and systematics and things like that.
Well, the first thing that I learned is that you need to make sure that it doesn't happen again because it is rough.
Yeah.
You know, it's rough physically and it's rough mentally, you know, for the players and coaches. You know, I'm not sure exactly how it happened. I don't know that it's ever happened before. If they, you know, in their computer and how they generate the schedule, did they consider London a home game? So that was came in as a home game. You know, I think, you know, it's been a tough, haul for us, but the guys have fought through it. You know, we've got to play the hand that's dealt, like you said. And I just hope that I never have to go 42 days between home games.
Right.
You know, and have an opportunity, you know, you can do it three. Sometimes I've had a 4-week stretch where you haven't had a home game, because it's always nice to be in the friendly confines of the Georgia Dome.
Smitty, you got 5 of these left, and everything is still available.
Yep.
Available to you. And regardless of what happens tonight, you get that crowd again the second last game of the season, so you could actually rectify that yourself. So that being said, a guy you've never had to worry about in the 7 years he's been here, Matt Ryan, struggled yesterday, and there are a lot of reasons why. I played the position. Guys hitting you inside the head tend to make you a little errant with the football from time to time, but it wasn't his most solid outing. Is he a guy you ever have to talk to? He seems like he's a guy that pretty much self-corrects.
Oh, Matt is fantastic in terms of his preparation, how he responds on game day, and how he responds during the week. You know, Matt's the leader of our football team, and we're going to go as he goes. and he brings people up to play at his level, whether you're an offensive player or a defensive player or a special teams player. And we can't wait to get back out on that field on Wednesday for us, because it's going to be the same goal as it was the last 3 weeks, and that's to go out and have the best day we can have on that day, make the corrections, and come back the next day and try to do it better.
Obviously, you're going to spend a ton of time over the next 36 hours, 48 hours getting ready for this Cardinal crowd coming in. They're playing a pretty good level, as you mentioned. From a defensive standpoint, if you've got a crew that plays well defensively, and this is a group that we've struggled with a little bit over the last couple seasons, Matt in particular against this group, is this a group that you can kind of get after with a tempo scenario? I know you guys like to play at tempo from time to time. You had some success yesterday with your little bit more of an increased tempo offensively. Can you do that to a defense?
Oh, absolutely. And Arizona's defense is playing with a lot of confidence right now. They take the ball away. They've had 15 interceptions thus far in the season. They're not sacking the quarterback like they had in years past. They're in the middle of the pack with 25 sacks. Their scoring defense is outstanding, and their rushing defense. They do a very good job rushing. Of course, early in the season they had big leads. The last 2 weeks. With the backup quarterback in there, they haven't scored as many points. But Bruce Arians has done a wonderful job since he's arrived. I've been impressed not only with Larry Fitzgerald, who's been doing it forever, but the Ellington from Clemson, who people around here are very familiar with, not only running the ball but catching the ball out of the backfield. He has just as many catches as Larry Fitzgerald throughout the season, and they do some things formationally and position groups that put a lot of stress on offense or defenses.
When you go back to the practice field on Wednesday, Arch's guy, the Missouri Hammer, will be there, William Moore. What kind of integration package is there here for him in terms of returning to your lineup, and could it happen as soon as Sunday?
There's a chance that happens this week. William had his first week last week, and we'll get an opportunity this week to have him have another padded practice. He's eligible to return. It's just going to be a matter. We're working on his conditioning. I know that he was out working with the athletic performance guys doing wind sprints this morning. Mm-hmm. I saw him outside my office working on getting his conditioning. So we're trying to ramp him up. His injury is healed up, and we hope that he's going to be ready to go. We just got to get 3 good days of practice and see where he's at.
Having had a chance to talk with Willie Moe, I know he's chomping at the bit to get back onto the field and try to help his team win a game. And that's tough, Smitty, when you start talking about, it's easy to go out and run wind sprints. It's another thing to crank it up for about 50 plays or 30 plays or whatever it is on the defensive side of the football. How difficult has it become? And you and I have talked about this before. We're not going to complain, but because of the way the collective bargaining agreement is set up, there's so much talk about tackling, not just here in Atlanta. There's tackling issues all over the league. You see it every day. How hard is it to try to rep some of that but not overdo it? And then now here comes a guy that's supposed to be one of those guys that gets it done for you, and he can't rep it either.
Yeah, well, we're at the point where we only have 2 more padded practices the rest of the season.
Wow.
Yes. The collective bargaining agreement, once you get past week 11, the last 6 weeks, 17-week season, you have 3 opportunities to practice in pads. So we're getting ready to wind this down. It's difficult. You've got to drill it. But there's nothing like going out there and actually doing the skill. But in the game of football, you can't go out there and practice all of the techniques, because you wouldn't be healthy on game day if you're out there taking guys to the ground. So we've got to work different tackling drills, and we need to get back to it, because more drills this week, because we did not tackle well on a number of plays in the game on Sunday.
Coach, before we let you go here in our last couple of minutes, we talk about Arizona, and ironic because we mentioned the Larry Fitzgeralds, the Josh Gordons, the bigger receivers that you see, Kelvin Benjamin, I guess, from the week before. Arch and I were talking yesterday. We're also seeing these little guys, the 5'10", 5'9", and here comes John Brown, this rookie for Arizona, who's played inside for them, got a start yesterday. And to go behind the challenges you had with a Hawkins and a Gabriel yesterday with Cleveland, and I guess to a degree the slot guys in Carolina the week before.
Yes, you know, there's a movement to have the real big guys. And most of the time they're on the outside, and then the slot receivers are more of the shifty guys. And for the most part, I thought we did a decent job with the underneath stuff yesterday with the slot receivers. We got picked a couple of times. We weren't as clean as we needed to be in some man coverages. Mm-hmm. But John Brown has 37 catches for over 500 yards, and guys come out of nowhere. And they run some five wide receiver sets, and some of their four wide receivers with Ellington is just like five receivers.
Well, it's just like I said yesterday. We had a guy from Towson running the ball, and a guy from Texas State made the tackle. Now here comes a John Brown we've never heard of before. If you can play football, they're going to find you and put you in the league.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. You know, the scouts and the people on the personnel side of it, they scour the nation. Yeah. And they know every player that's playing at the post-high school level.
Smitty, thanks as always. Good luck in your preparation for Arizona.
All right, guys. Thank you.
That's Falcon head coach Mike Smith. Stay tuned. Justin Blaylock on the other side in the players segment of this week's edition of the Coaches Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.